This is Phil Farron.
And I am driving home. Eventually. I have to go swing by the church, help set things up for Sunday. We aren't having Sunday morning service, but we are having Christmas Eve service. So, and I am running sound for that. So, I've got to swing by the church, help set up for Sunday. Plus, we're doing a rehearsal. So, it will take a little bit to get home. But we'll eventually get home. I'm driving around a police car at the moment because the parking lot that I'm pulling out of, the police have pulled someone over. Thankfully, there doesn't appear to be any altercations going on, and there do not appear to be weapons that are being brandished, so I think we're okay. It's been a good week. We have been digging out, among other things, we have been digging out from a problem that we had with end of month, but that seems to be fine. Apparently, there's one more little issue that we need to get corrected. Found out that just as I was walking out today, and I'm not coming in tomorrow, and we're off the next week, so it's going to have to wait until the 2nd of January to get looked at, but apparently some of the accume balances are off on our financial reporting site where we report stuff to the missionaries, and so that needs to be handled and taken care of, and we'll get all that done eventually. So it'll be fine. We'll get it done eventually. We'll just have to dig in and find out where we are and what needs to be updated. Ta-da. But all of that stuff is downstream of the authoritative sources, so we just got to get things resynced, which I thought had been done. I didn't do it. Supposedly it had been done, but maybe not. I don't know. So all these glorious things, we'll get it all figured out eventually. And everybody's leaving now for Christmas vacation, so, you know, ain't nothing gonna happen till we get back. You know, there was some sadness there, but we're digging our way out, and, you know, we'll get there. We'll get there. So that's that. Writing is going fine. I've started my read-through of what the first half, and that seems to be fine, of book 20, and then at the beginning of the year, then I'll drop back into another writing sprint, but I only have 60,000 words approximately to write in the second sprint because I had gotten to 90,000 words in the first sprint because I got started a little early. So that shouldn't be too bad, and I kind of know what I'm doing. I think have the setting for the epilogue already, so that all seems to be fine. So, and it's good, and the book is doing what it needs to do, and it is the middle of the third series of books. So there's 8 in each opus. So this book 20 is the 4th book in the 3rd opus. And so usually something big happens kind of in the middle there, and I already have that in place, and all is well, and we're going fine. Still working on the bigwig costume that I've mentioned. I may have the rest of the bit. Maybe. Maybe. So what I had on the bit so far, I probably mentioned this last week. Well, what I originally had was I needed to know the color of the wig so I could color coordinate the outfit. I heard a little whisper that said Goldilocks, and I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Then the wig is yellow. So I have some yellow latex that I had ordered to do for little doodads and accents, and so that's the color yellow that I'm going to paint the wig, so I've got to take that with me on Friday to where I can try to match that with some sort of spray paint. So that that was all fine. I got that. And then I was thinking, okay, so the bit, there's got to be something with the bit with Goldilocks. And what I had gotten so far was this idea that how privileged is Goldilocks? You know, how... Not privileged. How... I've just lost the word. I'm struggling to find that word. Entitled. That's what I want. I'm saying enabled. I kept trying to think enabled. It's not enabled. How entitled must she be? You know, happens on a home in the forest. Oh, well, I'll just go in. And I'll just eat their food, and I'll just sit on their furniture and break some of it, and I'll just crawl into their beds, you know? And it's like, wow, really? How entitled do you have to be to do that? But I wasn't quite there, and I didn't feel like I was quite there. But today I was having breakfast with a buddy, and we were talking about it. This is the reason I like to talk to my buddies. We were talking about it. And I don't know, I think he said something that bridged me into that. I think he said something about, you know, you could just walk up to people and, like, you could just evaluate what's in their cart, you know, because Goldilocks does that. Oh, this is too small, this is too big. I got to thinking, we got laughing about that, but then I started thinking about Goldilocks, and not only does she go into all that, but then, and just violate people's privacy and all that, but she does have to offer her opinion on everything. Oh, this is too hot. This is too cold. And I'm thinking, yeah, where have I heard that before? These entitled people that really want everybody to understand what their opinion on everything is because, you know, it's important. Okay, I think I've seen this behavior before. So, because they're a bigwig, so I think that may be it. I think that may be the final piece, that it's not only that she's entitled and thinks she could just walk into anyone's house at any time and sample their food, break their furniture, and sleep in their beds, but that she has to give a running commentary on her opinions on it all as she's doing it. Yeah, there you go. So I think we're good there. I think that's what that is. I am ramping up potentially to do something on Love Your Robot Day. I'm trying to work out all the technical details on that, but we may be doing that. And I'm working on potentially Bugs Bunny costume, and I made a little bit of progress on that. I still have more investigation to do on... the Marvin the Martian costume, because I really want to do something with the Marvin the Martian costume to where, you know, Marvin the Martian, he's got that helmet on, and it's all kind of a black sphere, but his eyes are on that, and they animate, and I would dearly love to figure out a way to do some kind of frosted glass or something on the front of the, or LED lights or something on the front of that black sphere and be able to animate eyes on the front of that and do something where I had something, you know, with my, that I could press with my hand that would create an image on the front of that of animation. That would just be spectacular. So I don't know. I'm thinking about that. I was also thinking about doing a costume for Wear Your Pearls Day, but apparently youngins have turned that phraseology into something untoward. So I have to decide whether I'm moving forward to like with that. I may do it anyways, just to let the youngins think they know something that I don't know and have them get a kick at the old fuddy-duddy, not realizing that I already know it. As to what that means for the youngins, you can look it up on the internet. Apparently the term pearls is has a reference into reproductive acts now. So there you go. So anyways, so work is fine. We got a little bit of cleanup left to do. Work is fine. Writing is good. Costumes are good. And that just leaves us with the topic for today. And I may just... I'm pulling into Walmart here because I want to get a snack before I start setting up the sound system. And so I'm gonna do that. And then I've got to go because I got, you know, lots of things to do here. So, but what I'm going to do in the meantime is I've got to run in and get some power steering fluid and get a snack and yada yada. And then we'll go from there. But life is good. Got the whole next week off. That's going to be fun. And we'll get the rest of it figured out when we get it figured out. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to find myself a place farther away from the crowd here, and then we'll just talk about the topic for today, which is not, it's not a new topic, but it's just really interesting. You know, the more I've been on the carnivore diet and the more I've listened to people talking about the carnivore diet, obviously YouTube is going to keep feeding me more stuff about the carnivore diet because that's what the algorithm does. And it's just amazing the number of doctors that are now talking about the stuff, or now I have access to, who are talking about the fact that, yeah, plants, maybe plants aren't all they're cracked up to be. I mean, it's very interesting, because all my life I had been told that plants were the way to go, you need to eat more plants, you know, this'll, you know, but there's a whole bunch of doctors about out there that, you know, they're saying, yeah, you know, you eat too much plants and they have all these problems in them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just so fascinating to see when they start talking about the history of why we got involved in plants in the first place. And a lot of it traces back to the Seventh Day Adventist. And there's still Loma Linda University, I guess, is a Seventh Day Adventist University, and they said if you see research coming out of Loma Linda University, you can just guarantee that it's going to be pro-vegetarian, because they just absolutely believe that's it. And people talk about the fact that there's nutrition that you can't get from plants. You can get it from meat that the body really needs, but then they say, well, but you know, when you look at this, like the Seventh Day Adventists, they define vegetarianism is only having meat once a week or once a month. And so maybe they're getting just enough to get those nutrients out of there, and they're going. It's just so fascinating. And confession, I had been telling people I'm carnivore, but I'm really not quite carnivore. I realized that this morning when I was making my AG1 drink, because I thought, oh, okay, well, there is plant-based stuff here. So, and I am doing this in the mornings, I'm not fasting, so I guess technically I'm not really carnivore. I'm mostly carnivore, and there isn't that many calories in the AG1 stuff, but there is calories in, or carbs in it. So anyways, so today, along with that whole dietary thing, I came across this article that's actually, the article is multiple months back, but it just reinforces things that I've been talking about for years, that not all calories are made the same. They just aren't. And you got to understand what you're eating and how much processing there is. And this isn't any new information, but you know, it's interesting. So the article is called Fat, Sugar, Salt, You've Been Thinking About Food All Wrong, which of course is a blanket statement and not all of us have, but there you go. So this was in Science Magazine, I think, in February the 22nd of this year. So Carlos Monteiro, he was in Brazil. He said in the late 2000s, he started noticing something strange about the food that Brazilian people were eating. The nutritionist had been pouring over 3 decades worth of data from surveys that asked grocery shoppers to note down every item they bought. In more recent surveys, Monteiro noticed Brazilians were buying way less oil, sugar, and salt than they had in the past, yet despite this, they were piling on the pounds. Between 1975 and 2009, the proportion of Brazilian adults who were overweight or obese more than doubled. So, of course, they're saying, well, okay, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? So, out of this, then, Carlos Monteiro developed a new classification for food that he calls NOVA that breaks things down into 4 categories. Less worrisome are minimally processed foods like fruits, vegetables, and unprocessed meats. Then come processed culinary ingredients, buttermilk, sugar. After that, processed foods, tinned vegetables, smoked meats, freshly baked breads, substances to be used carefully as part of a healthy diet. And then there are the ultra-processed foods, you know, that stuff that can sit on the shelf forever. And he says there are a bunch of reasons for why a product might fall into the ultra-processed categories. It might be made using industrial processes like extrusions, interesterification, carbonation, hydrogenation, molding, pre-frying. It could contain additives designed to make it hyper-palatable or preservatives that help it stay stable at room temperature. Or it might contain high levels of fat, salt, and sugar in combinations. With all that these foods share, Monteiro says, is that they are designed to displace freshly prepared dishes and keep you coming back for more. Years ago, there was a programmer that his lunch was like a pack of Pringles and a microwavable portion of macaroni and cheese. And I would tell my buddy, I would say, you know, the people who are making that food, nowhere are they thinking about your health. They have 3 top priorities. How can we make it as cheap as possible? How can it get you on the shelf as long as possible? And how can we make you eat as much as possible? And so there have been studies done now that, in fact, you know, show that these ultra-processed foods do cause different types of reactions in the bodies. So the author of the article talks about, you know, you can open up the kitchen cupboards and you'll find instant ramen, potato chips, biscuits, canned soup, sweets, cereal bars, a world of ultra-processed food, all of it ready to eat with no other preparations than just a minimal effort. It's not just me that is in the thrall to convenience foods. Ultra-processed foods make up 57% of the average UK diet and more than 50% of the US diet. So, yeah, that's not good. So they were talking about a researcher named Kevin Hall that he started out as an ultra-processed food skeptic. He's a researcher at the U.S. National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, where he studies how diet influences body weight and metabolism. He first heard about the NOVA categorization at a conference in 2015 when a Brazilian researcher mentioned the system to him. Why are you still looking at nutrients when they're not important anymore? The researcher asked. This struck me as a profoundly weird way to think about food. He had spent his entire career studying how nutrients affected the human body. That's what food was, he thought. Just different ways of packaging nutrients together. Still, Hall was intrigued by the NOVA categorization, and he put together the first randomized control trial comparing ultra-processed and unprocessed diets. In 2019, Hall asked 20 volunteers to stay at a clinical research center in Bethesda, where they would be fed a diet of only ultra-processed foods or whole foods for 2 weeks, and then switch to the other diet for the subsequent 2 weeks. Those on ultra-processed diet were fed a selection of dishes, including tater tots, turkey sausage, spam, and an ungodly amount of diet lemonade. The whole food diet was mostly made up of fruits and vegetables and unprocessed meat. For both diets, Hall and his research provided double the recommended portions of food so participants could eat as much as they liked. The critical part, however, was that the two diets were nutritionally matched, so each contained roughly the same amount of protein, fat, carbohydrates, fiber, and so on. The results of the study surprised Hall. On the ultra-processed diet, people ate around 500 extra calories per day and put on about 2 pounds. When people were on the whole food diet, they ate fewer calories and lost weight. This in spite of the fact that the meals had roughly the same nutrient compositions. To Hall, this implied there was something other than salt, sugar, and fat content that was causing people to eat excess calories and gain weight. Quote, "It suggests that there was something different about this NOVA categorization system. Maybe there is more to food than its constituent components." Hall's study drew a clear link between junk food and excess calorie consumption, but it can't tell us why people on ultra-processed diet ate more. After he published the results, Hall was flooded with suggestions from other scientists. Some thought it was because junk food is more calorie dense. Since processed foods are often deep fried and high fat, they pack in more calories per gram than whole foods, or maybe it was the junk food was eaten more quickly. In the study, people on the ultra-processed diet ate significantly faster than those who ate whole foods. Other scientists thought that additives might play a role or that junk food changed the gut biome in a way that's, okay, well, any and all of those things. But the fact of the matter is, those foods are designed, ultra-processed foods are designed to do one thing, make you crave them, make them as cheap as possible, and, you know, and because they're so processed, they're very easy to eat. I mean, you just chew them up and you can swallow them and boom, whereas you got to work a little bit with real food. So yeah, there's a huge difference between eating ultra-processed foods that require very little preparation, you can just snarf down, and eating something that's actually food. And so, you know, honestly, I've been talking about this for years and years, and it's kind of nice to see that someone has said, yeah, that's right. It's not just calories in and calories out. It's the type of calories and how they're prepared and what's the combinations are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's all very, very interesting. I do have to go. I got stuff to set up. I got to get ready to church, and I'd like to get a little snack. I'm going in to get a snack. Get me some roast beef, some cheese. That's why I'm not like full-blown carnivore too, because I'm sure some of the cheese that I'm eating actually has carbs in it. But that's okay. It's an animal product. So, you know, it's close. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have not made it home, but I will soon. Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry, Merry Christmas.